The mission. Okay, we'll start again. The mission on Kuf Lamed Gimel. Osen kol tzorchei mila b'Shabbos. Then the Mishnah defines what are the tzorchei mila. The tzorchei mila are molin uporin. That's the definition of mila. And then, after mila, in order to cure the wound, umotzin venosin olea esplanus bekomem. Okay, look at the Gemara on the Mishnah. The next page, on page 31, if you have it, and it's underlined towards the bottom of the page, about 6-7 lines up. Omar Papa, Hai Umno, Delo Mayitz Sakonahu, Vavrinanli. If a moral doesn't care for the wound properly, you get rid of him. Pshita. Naturally, midi ko mechalalei shabata sakonahu. That's not true. Because we do it on Shabbos, it's because mila zocha Shabbos. But mitzita is not part of mila. Mitzitza is medical stuff. It's not halachic. Only why do you do it? He says, why? Because it's a sakonahu. Again, midiko mechalalei Shabbat, since you mechal Shabbos. So you have here, first of all, the halacha. That mitzitza's dam is an avmalacha. I'm not a lomdus you can go put into here. It's a malach ben sichel gufo. It is not considered to be a malacha because the basis for the malacha is what? Nitilas neshama. Same as shechita. Therefore, who says that it's so? He says, "Midiko mechal shabato sakonahu." Mahu the same way you might think that this is not an av malacha. The dam is mifkat pocket. Kamash malon chaburi michber. Defining now mitzitza. What is mitzitza? Where does it classify itself in the mitzvah smila? No different than dumya displanus v'komon. No different than the bandage and the whatever herbals they put on there. Ma esplanus v'komon kilo ovis sakonahu. Right? Afochanami kilo ovis sakonahu. So the Mishnah is defined by the Gemara that the mila consists of only two steps. Milu priya. The next step, mitzitza and esplanus, right? That's medical stuff. That's needed because of sakonahu. As you know, nowadays, a moel who wouldn't make mitzitza would most likely lose his job and never be called again. Mitzitza became a critical component of mila. And therefore, we'll discuss that maybe next year. Therefore, it poses a special problem. If it's not a component, then how do you make mitzitza on Shabbos? Not mitzitza bepeh, mitzitza with a gauze to squeeze the wound and cause more blood to come out is an isur d'oraisa. Gemara poses a shaila. And those of you who learn Ksubis If you remember in Daf Hey, the same Gemara occurs in Ksubis. The Gemara asks, Dam Sulim, is it Mifkat Pocket or Chaburim Ichbar? And what does the Gemara conclude there? That the Dam is Mifkat Pocket. Over here, the Gemara concludes, the Dam Mila is Chaburim Ichbar. Why the difference? Nobody explains. So Rashi, in Ksubas, gives some anatomical, biological explanation why the Gemara concludes that it's Mifkat Pocket. It says, because it is Mechunos there, and it's closed, and all you do is open up a door, and the blood comes out. In other words, it's not part of the general circulation. If you analyze that a little differently, and in this last issue of Beis Yitzchak, I have there an analysis of Hotzor's Dam B'Shabbos. I give what I think to be a proper hesber. Hotzor's Dam is an isur of Netilas Neshama. When I go ahead and I cut a baby to do Mila, this blood is blood of his Neshama. This is vital blood. Moses says, Mila, praise of Am Yisrael, Ki Olecha Horagnu Kol Hayom. That I'm willing to risk my child in those days, Meso Achos Echav Machmas Mila, was a problem. Hemophilia was a major problem there. Therefore, we know it's blood that can cause death, so it's part of the neshama. When Kadosh Baruch Hu made Chava, only 2 weeks ago, Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that every woman that he creates, that will follow the dictates of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, as the Novi Yeshaya says, that lo soul b'ro lo sheves yitzorah. Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the Tosfos in Yevamos, says that that's a mitzvah even on a goy of piriyah b'rivyah. Certainly on a woman, she has a mitzvah piriyah b'rivyah, not from pru uvu, but from lo soul b'ro lo sheves yitzorah. Right? So Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that every woman that will be created will have to give up a little bit of blood. So that blood couldn't be intended to be part of her neshama blood. That couldn't be vital blood. That amount of blood that comes out from psulim, right? Since it was l'chatzchile intended by Kadosh Baruch Hu to be wasted, right? Therefore, the Gemara concludes that that dam is mifkat pocket, just waiting to be let out, but it's not chaburi mechba. Damila, however, is Chaburi Michba. Okay? We could use a little help and know what we're talking about. So if you have the Imam Makomas in front of you, turn to page 114 to 117. Yeah, we can run through. Rabbi, you have a text for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Most of you people most likely take off your underpants when you go in the shower. So, but you never look, so this you don't know what it's all about. The picture, prepos, that's the aula. That aula is like a sleeve turned inside. Inside is the ora priya. This is the ora aula. When you go ahead and do what used to be done there by good Moalim. They take a forceps and put it, usually they do a little probing to open up a little more space, grab it and pull it forward, and then cut it. You lose Ora Pri and all of Bevasachas. Lately, with the dominance of Hungarian halachas, that became an Iso Daraisa. No, no, no. You must make Priya separate from Mila. You make Mila by pulling it forward this way, cutting off over here, and you leave the Ora Priya. Then you go ahead and with your nails, and Chassidus Shemoyel keeps his nails filed to a point, and with your nails with tzipporen, that's a mitzvah to do it with your fingernails. You grab the Or HaPriya and you rip it and push it back past the corona, the cleft there, because Or HaPriya doesn't need to be removed. It has to be moved away. Or HaOlo requires chituch. It has to be removed, Or HaOlo. Or HaPriya can be pushed back, and it will, and some of you may notice it when you take a shower again, that usually behind the corona, behind the cleft, there's usually a little extra skin seems to be piled up, like wrinkled skin. That's the Or HaPriya that didn't come off, but was pushed behind the cleft. And it's a proper mila. But a proper mila is also molu poro bevasachas. If you take a look, if you can turn to page 45, there's a short tshuva from my Shver Zatzal. I'll tell you what he's referring to. Okay, and the on these on the sec on the third column on the page. Okay. The third column is the paragraph that begins Al Koponim or something there. Shaminen Shebizmanom Hoyumakomosh Osu Bachatich Achas Gam HaPriya Velo Bitziporin. Again, the influx of Hungarian Gedolim, what was their minhag, became now halacha. If you look in Rav Yaakov Emdem Siddur, back at Siddur, he has Hilchos Mila. And he says, Hanu, I'm quoting directly, Hani Bavloi Mumchen Hein, De Molin Uporim Bevasachas. Why subject the baby to extra pain? If I grab both skins together and cut them off, that's one mice of chituch. If I pull the skin forward and cut it, that's one source of pain. And then with tzipporen, I have to lift it off. That's the most likely, the greatest source of pain to the child. Only American trained Moalim today do Milo Opriya Bevasachas. Yeah. Certainly it makes sense if there's nothing wrong in halacha to do so. And certainly if it minimizes pain to the child, that should be the preferred way to do it. But as has become common knowledge, that's not a good mila, because mila you must do bitziporen, based upon a medrash that every part of the human body was destined to do mitzvahs. Right? The tongue usually does avelos, but the bitsipolen, right? What's the mitzvah that you do with nails? You do priya b'shas mila. And that's the basis for that mina of protesting against doing mila or priya b'vasachas. You can go back to the diagrams on page 114. Okay. Here you have Mitzvashem, those who will be in Rabbonus will have such shailas. I personally, no year goes by without having two, three such shailas, where the decision has to be made: should you postpone the mila because of a malformation of the male organ? The male organ is supposed to end up with an opening over here, so you can urinate. But sometimes it doesn't go all the way, and the opening is over here. It's called a hypospadia. That's the picture there on page 115. Okay. In order to fix that, it's the urethra, the tube inside to which the urine comes, that tube is short. It didn't go all the way to the end. So how do you go ahead and add to the tube to bring it to the end? I have to do graft tissue to that. But there's almost no tissue in the body of a male that doesn't produce hair or can produce hair. You want to put in, therefore, an extension of the tube that will grow hair. So the only good tissue to use is the ora ola. The ola is, how to use the ola there, only if it's big enough, long enough, etc., extra enough. So therefore, they usually postpone the bris for 2 years, until the ola is big enough to do the grafting. Api aloche, you can be matter that if there's a real reason for it. So if the opening is here, so that the man has to urinate like a woman, must sit in order to urinate, then it's a serious problem, psychological, etc. If, however, it's a little bit off, which is the usual case, a little hypospadia, so the baby will learn after a while, right, that it doesn't go straight out. Urine flow goes a little bit angled down. And two reasons. One, there's no reason to delay the bris. Number two, there's no reason to subject the baby to surgery. There, in order to go ahead and perfect the appearance of the male organ. Therefore, in hypospadia, and that's what I noted over here, and the nolad mol b'miksas, according to medical records, there never was a child that was nolad mohu without any ora priya. We know from our tradition that some of our, the Avos Ha'uma, were born mohu. Moshe Rabbeinu was born mohu, etc. Ki Tovu, etc. So I didn't include it here, I don't think. 2 years ago, nolad mohu in Liberia or something. And it's such a big chiddush that it made all medical journals. That's how rare a real nolad mohu is. Born without, not ola, without priya. as if it was Takemohol. Okay, let's continue a little bit more on this biology. On page 116, this is the equipment that you need to do Mila. If you see more than that by the moel, it's a good idea to send the moel home and get yourself a good moel. Because the moelim nowadays, every one of them prefer to make mila using what you see there on the next page. I'm sorry, on page 118. Okay, let me describe that to you. What you see on page 117, that's called the Gamko clamp. And until recently, that was all that was used in the hospital. Remember, in the hospital, most males are circumcised, Jew or non-Jew. Only recently, the Chmal and son, unfortunately, Jews too, have been refusing Mila. Otherwise, the obstetrician throws that in into his services. Their idea is not to need a bandage, not to need isplanos, that the mission says. So what do they do? Very simple. If you see the on page 117, they spread the oil of priya and slip a cup underneath it, and on top of that cup comes this contraption that you see in 117. And then they ratchet it down so that it's totally compressed. Visualize this. There's a cup here so that the organ is not compressed. On top of the cup, right, goes a cover with a ratchet so that you squeeze the ora priya in between the metal cup and the top cup that goes out. You leave it there for 10, 15 minutes. And then you cut around it. They describe it here very nicely on page 117. See that on the right hand, the lower figure. He's cutting off the skin that was pinched between the two, and there's nothing more to do. Not even a bandage on the baby. There. Our molim began using it too. Where do you find it? That's known as the Bronstein clamp. Okay. The Bronstein clamp, if you want to know how famous it is, you have to look at 119. Okay, Odor Vazor, there, look at the picture. The picture in the middle, Hamakubo Bidodo. And after that is Hanesa Mikol Gadol Yisrael. Okay, what is it? Bronstein said, I can improve on the Gamko. Gamko is a complicated thing with a cup and a thing on top. There. He says, don't need that. All I need to do is compress the tissue so tightly that it seals. And there's no bleeding after that. So what he did was, and here you can visualize it very simply. I've seen Molim do it with a plain forceps. Namely, they pull the skin, the ola and ora priya forward, cross a forceps. You all know what a forceps is, a tweezers, right? Clamp it, the forceps all clamp, not by itself, as it was a little gimmick. To clamp it, to hold it tight, right? And get involved with some nonsense so there's a passage of time, like 30 seconds, 50 seconds. And then they cut it off. And they duplicated the Gamco clamp. All the Gamco clamp was designed for is to compress the tissue. Came along Bronstein and said, every moil uses a Mogain. When they pull the Ola Prix, I'm sure you've all seen Miele, right? Then he slips over a shield and cuts along the shield so he doesn't cut the organ. That's traditional. That's what he says here, Hamakubo Midodo. That's a plain shield that slips over. Came along Bronstein and visualized what he did. He took the shield and put on it a ratchet so I can ratchet the shield tight together so it'll pinch off the blood supply. And that evoked this dramatic response. So if you look down, go back a page at 118, you see the comparison. On the bottom, the instruments they show on the bottom, right? There is traditional Jewish shield. On top of it is the Gamco clamp. And now you can visualize how it is. You see, that's the cup, and there's a ratchet on the left. And here is, right? If you turn the page sideways, you'll see that the shield on the bottom and the Bronstein clamp on the top are the exact same thing, except that in the Bronstein clamp, the two sides of the shield move. And therefore, when you clamp it together, right, you get this circulatory cessation for long enough for the tissue to... So what's wrong with that? You people have to find American Jewish history. There was a five-year period, when Mount Sinai Hospital ran a Miele school. I was the dean of the Miele school there. And we put out 12 or 13 Moralim each year those years. And then we were called to a din Torah by the Moralim that we're putting him out of business. We're producing too many more of them there who are come with the yichus of Mount Sinai Hospital, and they're competing unsuccessfully with the new Moralim. And believe it or not, we had to stop the school. That much pressure was brought from the Rabbonim. They got letters from Eretz Yisrael, so we stopped the school. They were all trained to traditional way, use a regular shield, etc., etc. All those Moralim, and many of them, I have ongoing contact with them, all of them now own a Bronstein clamp. What's their taina? Taina is, they're called to a Miele far away. They have to go there for Shabbos. Then what? They do the Miele. Either they have to spend the night to check the baby the following day, or run the risk that the baby will bleed a little excessively. They have to take him to the hospital, etc. So halacha l'maisa, they all use the Bronstein clamp for that purpose. But as long as they're using it, and I don't want to mention names, but name the most famous of the Moralim that are functioning today, the ones who write books and give lectures. I don't want to mention his name. He's learned how to use the clamp by leaning forward, and the talus covers over so that no one sees what he's doing. Yeah. And he does it almost routinely. Except when I'm holding the baby. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure. I have the picture. This one with the Mogain, right, is not the Bronstein clamp.
The what?
What is the picture of the Bronstein clamp?
Yeah. This is the Brunson clock. So visualize it. Just hold it this way. You'll see it's this clamp, same thing. The only chilek is that he has a ratchet there to move the two sides together. Okay, so that what happened there, you see, if you look at it, and then again at the page 118, right, you see the effort that was made, right, from Eretz Yisrael and from America as well, right, okay, there to Asa the mugging. To us, the Brunson clamp. Yeah, I don't know what did I. The real reason that it's also the Brunson clamp is not a bad idea, but the real reason it's also is because of the way it's used. If the Brunson clamp would be used there, you clamp it down and you cut it, then there would be bleeding, a little bit of bleeding, and the wound will heal much better. The trouble is, the Moalim want to use it to show the bloodless circumcision. And then they raise the issue, is there dam b'ris or not? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In most circumstances, there's bleeding. If he waits anything more than 30, 40 seconds, there is no bleeding. And then there's a real shaila there. Do you need a tapas dam bris after that? Okay. Next. You turn to page 120. There. Okay. Same thing. So you see what underlined there. Also, likar shum bris mor kozeh, etc., etc. Am shamish be'ezer mokom shehu. They know am ezer mokom shehu. It means the moalim who use it for a Shabbos bris, where they have to be away, so they allow themselves to use it, warning you against it. Right? And I don't know if the language is accurate. Be clear hamashchis. I don't know if that's but that's a gentle language for bedatz. Right. Okay. Next point that needs a rational examination. That's the tzar hamila. Okay. If you turn to page 29. There's a metal shabba there. Should be 29. Yeah. See if you can read it. I have on the left hand column this week's Parsha Lech Lecha. Right. As it. The Etzam Yom Azeh Nimul Abraham. Amar Rababa Bakahane. Right. Hirgish Beditztayer. Kidei sheyichpol lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shchoro. That caused all kinds of trouble. On the basis of that, the current practice among, and I have to use that expression, I can't identify them otherwise, right, those who came with the Hungarian tradition, right, Asa the moral from using any anesthetic on the baby. Why? Because you see, Avram nitzayer kedeshe yichpol shcharo, that the tzar that he, Avram felt, right? We mean he could have possibly taken an anesthetic. Yeah. But no, he wanted to be mitzayer kedeshe yichpol shcharo, to get more shchar from it. Therefore, this poor little baby, 8 days old, right, we want him to have more shchar. I think the father should have more shchar, right? He should do a second meal on himself. But that's the basis for the prohibition against using anesthetic. None of the Hungarian moralim, those trained by them, allow you to use any anesthetic. It's hard to justify that custom. And never was. Things have changed. I remember, Boshem, I have five sons of my own. They're, except for the last one, I think, or maybe the last two, the Mila was in the hospital. Yeah, because Beth Israel Hospital on the Lower East Side kept a woman after birth for 8 days. Until, and they had a Mila room, which was included in the fee there, and we all made the Mila in the hospital, and the mother was cared for 8 days. Nowadays, they wait until the baby comes out and they send them both out. I think the maximum that the insurance pays is 2 days. I think, and I know my daughters, since they gave birth, one of them gave birth on Friday, came home for Shabbos. Didn't want to spend Shabbos in the hospital. Baruch Hashem, we know that it's most likely the wise thing to do. The most dangerous place for a pregnant woman to be is in the hospital. It's good for her to give birth in the hospital. Then she should get the heck out of there, because that's where you get sick. You know, all the bad germs are in the hospital. All the antibiotic-resistant germs are in the hospital. The faster you get out, the better. And that's, by the way, an Indian in Halacha Lamaisa. Yeah, not exactly our topic, but it's important you should know. Very often, a doctor will sign off a patient that give him reshus to leave the hospital on Shabbos. He did rounds on Shabbos morning. Baby, the patient is fine. Yeah, you can go home. Right. You go home. Can he leave the hospital there and go home on Shabbos? Most likely, yes. If the alternative is he has to stay in the hospital that day, the longer he stays in the hospital is real pikuach nefesh. All MRSA, all those bad germs are all in the hospital. Why? In the hospital, they've used all the antibiotics you can think of. Therefore, the bugs that survive are all those that are resistant to all known antibiotics. And that's why the most serious infections occur within the hospital. They even become so serious nowadays, they even have signs up for the doctors to wash their hands. That's a great progress made in medicine today. Signs up all over the hospital reminding the doctors to wash their hands. Okay. What about, now go back, what about the pain of circumcision? So there, something you people should know for your own children as well as to advise others, that a very, very good anesthetic, believe it or not, is a concentrated solution of glucose. And you put a drop of glucose on the baby's tongue, and extremely helpful for the baby. On page 121, they mention, look at the first column, the bottom of the column, another option is Embla. The first option is what we use for an adult. adult mila. What we do for adult mila usually in Gerus, you inject Novocaine in a circular pattern, and then you and it's very effective. Of course, to do it to a baby, first of all, the organ is very small, and to stick the baby 6, 7, 8 times to get a circular and get an anesthetic to be covered the whole area, the chances are you're doing more pain with your needle than the whole pain of the circumcision. So that's not done. There is a compound which many obstetricians tell the mother that they can use, Emla. Yeah. So I will tell you, halacha l'maaseh, it is totally valueless. It has no effect whatsoever. Okay. It's good advertising, but that's all.
What is that, topical cream?
Yeah?
That's a topical cream? What is
topical cream, Emla. There is, however, a topical cream that's 100% effective. And I... Where do I have that? Look at page 136. And in Boshem, when I'm involved in a mila there, I strongly recommend it, and it's approved. Right. On page 136, yeah. And it's an article that I wrote. But on page 137, it's the use of lidocaine. Or you know it as Novocaine, lidocaine. Use it for sunburn cream, contains some lidocaine in it and so on. But here we're talking about a high concentration of lidocaine there, put on just before mila, as the New England Journal of Medicine article says there is no absorption into the general circulation of the baby. Right? It's highly effective. It's in the cream also. The trouble is it doesn't exist. The pharmacist has to make it up. He has to take Novocaine and mix it with a cream. That's already too fancy for most pharmacists nowadays, because their degree in pharmacy is usually in ability to count pills from a big bottle into a little bottle there. So they don't want to do it. It's not part of their training there. So in Muncie, Baruch Hashem, I have the pharmacist who prepares it, whoever wants it. So all the more in there who are trained in America, yeah, they all use it. Those who were not trained in America cite the Medrash, that Avraham Avinu wanted more schar. Right. Okay. Inhabit. Okay, let's go back now to the halacha. Okay, start with page one. Okay, the Mechaber in Siman Reish Samach, Mitzvos Aseh Le'av Lomul as Beno. Ugedola Mitzvazu Misham Mitzvah Saseh. Strange comment from the Mechaber. Einato Yodeas Matan Schoron Son Mitzvos. How do you know that the Mitzvah of Mila is greater? So, the so the Shach, right, tries to give an explanation. The Pisha Yeshbo Tzad Kores. Korban Pesach also has a tzadkos. He says, "Dol the mitzvah zu mishar mitzvahs say all mitzvahs say." How about Korban Pesach is a mitzvah say which Yesh Makoris also. Can't take that literally. What you have to do is tie it in with this week's Seder. And this was the first mitzvah given to a Jew. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw fit. There must be something special about it. Right. But Pshat still open to suggestions. One suggestion is the absence of the mitzvah, the failure to do the mitzvah, presents a very special problem. Look at the language. Yeah, language of the Rambam. Im lo mol ha'avas b'no chayovim bezin l'molo. Im lo molu bezin chayiv hu. You don't find that halacha on a Korban Pesach. If a person doesn't want to bring a Korban Pesach, Bezin brings a Korban Pesach for him. No such halacha. No way to work. Comes to the Mo and says, what gives a special significance to this mitzvah. Okay. It means an onish on the son when he grows up, onish on the father every day that he doesn't do mila. So with that in mind, there turn to page 49. A serious problem is manazeh. Problem involving isura daraisa. Bidvar koton shem mitzad shechosel lo hamishko. Right. Amu sheosel lemolo. Im tzrichin lahamtin zayin yomim mizman shiyeh lo hamishko. Common shaila. Nowadays, medical care of a newborn is far more aggressive than it ever was. The baby, the breathing isn't exactly right. Chalil v'chas, no danger to the baby. But his breathing is off. He's catching his breath, not breathing all the time in proper rhythm. By the way, you put him in incubator, right? Increase the amount of oxygen, and so on. Once upon a time, they knew a few hours later, things will be okay. A day later, things will be okay. But then it poses a shaila in halacha. We didn't get to it there, but a tino chole, there, you can't do a bris on him. If you do a bris on him, when you're not supposed to because of his physical condition, you need a tovas dam bris after that. In other words, it's like a mila koidim zmano. Therefore, if you delay the bris, and once you declare the baby sick, the halacha is you have to wait 7 days. We'll get to it later on in the day. You have to wait 7 days before you can do a bris. You don't wait 7 days, it's mila koidim zmano. Therefore, the question was posed there, the baby, especially nowadays, where Baruch Hashem, obstetrical care increased to such an extent that a baby born at 2 pounds, a baby born at 1 pound, survives. And at 2 pounds, usually survives without any neurological deficit. In the old days, a baby born at 3 pounds did make it. 4 pounds, mudget, maybe pulled through. Yeah. Nowadays, we go ahead, and the baby is born at 4 pounds, 4.5 pounds. The pediatrician says the baby's fine, nice, healthy baby, good lungs, breathing well, neurological responses are perfect. You want to do a bris, go do a bris. He sees no medical objection to the bris. Comes along the moel and says, we don't do bris in under 5 pounds. And I just learned that by mutual consent, they raised it to 6 pounds. Baby under 6 pounds, we don't do a bila. Don't do a mila, and the father's chayv koris every day for that, because the moel wants to act like a doctor. The halacha of chole is the same halacha that you have in the din retzicha. How do you know? The Gemara says, "Ha'orages ha'treifa." He's potter from Mises Bezdin. And the Gemara asks then, "What's a treifa?" So Rambam's lashon, the Rambam is, "Kol ma'ase yomu lo harufim." Whatever doctor says, a treifa is a treifa. We don't know. All our medicine comes from Galen and Aristotle. That's the medicine of the Gemara. If a moel acts like a doctor, he tells you, "I don't do bris unless the baby is 6 pounds." When the pediatrician says, "I don't know what he's talking about. The baby is a perfectly healthy baby." Yeah. And you get another moel. Yeah. A moel can't make that decision. He's not equipped. He does no pediatrics. Yeah. But then suddenly they got established in the field, right? Which field? Again, among American-trained moelim, they know you follow the pediatrician. Whatever the pediatrician says, that's fine. He gives you get clearance from the pediatrician. That's what. A reduced weight. So the Shiloh was asked, and this somebody may know, is Ephraim Greenblatt, that's the brother of Nota Greenblatt from Memphis there. Israel said he's not a chole. Yeah. If there's some reason why the moel shouldn't do the bris on a little baby, yeah, because the doctor feels that the baby's, he feels, he doesn't know himself, no rational reason for it. It's also a Kabbalah grows up in pediatrics. A four-pound baby, you wait until he's 5 pounds. That's where the Moelim got the first halacha. That became part of medical practice. That you don't do circumcision until the baby's 5 pounds. There. Now the Moelim added an extra pound to it. But that's not a choled, the shrimp. That's a chidush in the Hezba. It's an early development. Then you wait until the development is finished. But you don't call him a choled, they have to wait 7 days after that. Because once he's classified as a choled, then you need 7 days, then he's keilu shenolad. Once he gets well, now we have that, quite often, a baby isn't well. A baby was on a ventilator. They had to intubate the baby because the baby was, lungs were premature. Were premature. There. Then, after the doctors give a clearance, then you have to wait 7 days before you can do the bris. And do a bris on it. But that's an important distinction. that low weight is not a sickness. Low weight is a developmental fact. If once he reaches the proper weight, then you do the mila. You don't have to wait 7 days after that. Biggest problem, halacha lamaisin, maybe turn to page 135 there. Here, I'll show you also where we have a problem. Nobody wants to give the Rebbeinu Shel Olam credit for knowing his medicine. Do you know what jaundice is? Anyone? No. Anyone know? Okay. Good. Okay. And jaundice is a problem that the liver isn't working. Someone has cancer and it's spread to the liver and he's now jaundiced. And jaundice reveals itself externally as a yellow in the white of the eye turns yellow and the skin takes on a bronze hue there from the buildup there of a compound called bilirubin. Now you ask any one of these Hungarian Molin what's bilirubin, he'll tell you it's Chaim Rubin's brother. Bilirubin is a breakdown product, hemoglobin, right, there breaks down because the liver isn't functioning. Liver isn't functioning for 5 days after a baby is born. Okay. No one understands why. So, in those 5 days, the baby picks up jaundice. On day six, the liver kicks in, and the jaundice dissipates. When the baby is born, they do a... How many of you people, Boshem, have children? Okay. At least the Baba Dasra has. Okay. So they do a heel stick, and they measure right away the level of bilirubin in the blood. And according to good medicine, the baby is fine, looks fine, no problem with the baby. But only bilirubin is high, up to 19, number 19, the baby is healthy. Above 20, begin to worry. And usually it's unnecessary worry, but people worry, right? By day 10, 11, everything is okay. Yeah. But you don't know. If it passes 19, it could be there's a trouble with the liver. So there... You have a medical problem that needs a solution. Came along, nobody knows who, and Paskin the Shaila that was asked by Moelim years ago, and a Moel will not do a bris if the baby's bilirubin is above 12. People have contact with Moelim, any Moel in the shul will ask him, 12? Oh. Why? Nobody knows why. Someone said 12. 12 seems like a nice number, right? So it became halacha lemaisa that the bilirubin has to be less than 12. But iso daraisa with chiyuv kores we're learning if you delay a bris for no reason. Among the satma, this business of delaying a bris, no problem.
if someone is in a hospital, as exists for different reasons, the mother had to stay in the hospital, and the baby's in there, and they do a bris in the hospital, they will not allow the moel to make mitzitza bepeh. Right. Among the satma, on Shabbos, you delay the bris for Sunday. These are the little halachas that seem to conflict with the it's a minor problem. It doesn't agree with the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't agree with Minhag Yisrael before the Churban of European Jewry, when the strength, and it's a compliment, the strength of the Chassidish community to follow their Minhagim and to perpetuate their Minhagim. I live in Muncie, so I'm not far from Square. If you want to see what a successful community is, you have to go in and see. Organized, controlled, everybody identical in their dress. Right. Whether you agree with them in Hogim or not, it's an example of high success in sociology. Yeah. And I will tell you, I have very close contact with that community, including with the Rebbe, and it's a happy community. It's a contented community. Yeah. They just had been through a battle. Somebody wanted to build a housing community, a secular one, right alongside, without a buffer. And they went to court and got our local court, since we're dependent on the boats, at a local court to usher the community that wants to open up, because they felt it was too close to their community, it would interfere with their seclusion. Nevertheless, halacha is halacha. Yeah. Al pi halacha, you can't follow those minhagim that violate the halacha. A jaundice, a bilirubin, is determined whether it's considered to be a medical problem or not, is determined by the doctor, not by the moel. The moelim are not doctors. It's also for them to practice medicine without a license. Let me explain to you, though, how smart the Rebbeinu Shalom is. Okay. We don't know what causes cancer. Okay. But we know that the presence of what's called free radicals, these are highly reactive molecules in the body, that they are somehow involved in producing cancer. Almost it's like olive bays in cancer physiology. I should tell you how smart Kadosh Baruch Hu is. When a baby is born and begins to breathe oxygen, he forms tremendous numbers of free radicals. The sponge, as it's called, for free radicals, what catches free radicals and knows them react against cells. The best compound to catch the free radicals is a compound called bilirubin. Comes Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, the baby is going to start breathing oxygen. So for the first 5 days, I'll tell the liver not to function. Liver doesn't function, the bilirubin rises. The bilirubin catches the free radicals, right, and saves the baby from damage. When a baby has a bilirubin of 18, 19, he's healthier than a baby with a bilirubin of 5, because he has more bilirubin to catch the free radicals. as just a medical, biological hezbah, also explains, I say, the wisdom of Kodesh Baruch Hu's biology. Right? Instead of looking for a drug to give the baby, I just tell the liver, you quiet down. Okay, go back to the halacha.
Rabbi Tendler?
Yeah.
Why, let's say a bilirubin count is very high.
But this go out of weight. Yeah. Sorry.
If a bilirubin count is taka very high, if a bilirubin count is high, what's the danger to the baby? If it is high, if it's over 20.
No, that if it's very high, meaning above 19, then you worry that the liver is damaged.
Uh-huh.
There's something wrong with the liver. Why didn't it kick in?
Uh-huh.
It's supposed to kick in at day 5.
So the bris won't affect that.
I'm sorry?
So the problem with doing a bris is just because he's sick, but not because there's any direct link between...
If a baby has a bilirubin above 19, that's a chola, then you have to wait 7 days after it goes down.
Okay.
Okay, next. Move to the next page quickly, too. We've been talking fancy halachas. What the halacha says first? Zman mila l'bori l'chol en androgynous. Ein molin achetonet sachamo. B'yom shmini l'edosa. And that... That presents a problem. They've been involved already with brisin that were done mainly when summertime, or so when zricha is 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock there. But when zricha is late. Like today, there are molim who have several jobs, and they cut the time. It's important to see. You should look at the clock, just like for Shabbos. You look at the clock. You look at the clock for a meal or two. Yeah, and the evid it's kosher b'sheyal amud hashachar, right? B'chol hayom kosher lemila. Here's a problem which Rabbanim have. Now is it? That's Chol Hamoed Pesach. I get a call there. Let me know there's a bris, invited me to come to the bris. Right. But the bris is going to be at 2 o'clock. Yeah. Say, well, bris at 2 o'clock? Who makes a bris at 2 o'clock? Yeah. As well, there's a granduncle who's coming in from Eretz Yisrael. Right. He's coming in just for the bris. Right. They have to wait till the plane lands. Come there. It's mitzvah kol hayom. You can make bris. You can make a bris a whole day, right? Ela what? What? Zrizin magdimin lemitzvos. Vayashkim Avraham b'boker, and Avraham was a fellow who started the whole milah business. Right? So you should give a little derechetz, maybe to follow his minhagim. But that's a problem. It's not. Something you have to learn to deal with in Rabbonis. We don't teach. I'm not on the faculty for practical Rabbonis, but I've been a practicing rabbi a long time. These are shailas that come up. But the event, you can make a bris at 2 o'clock too. You try to convince them that Minhag Yisrael is to make it early. Then, but if it means insulting an old uncle. Some it's okay to make the bris in the afternoon also. Not such a terrible thing. But in the chatchile, you make a bris in the morning. Right. It's over. of our mol belaila, right? So lazo lahat min adam bris. But if molu tol shvono ubiyom, you don't need a tavas dam bris. Okay, that's the halacha that we've been discussing. Chole ein molen also at sheyavri. Mamtin lo me'eish she'nesrapa me'chol yod shivas yomim. Me'eish li'eish. No, mind you, that's me'eish li'eish. If the baby there got a clearance from the doctor at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you can make the bris in the morning. But you wouldn't wait for the following morning. You make the bris 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. Because that's, you're playing around with isokores, so nobody wants to be involved with isokores by delaying a bris. The b'chol yom is under the onus of an isokores. Medvar b'amurim, she's a chole b'chol gufo. Chol tzoch ha'chama would be, has a fever. That's what it means. Baby's running a fever, of course. That's considered to be a pekuch nefesh situation for a baby. Right. But if it's a ke'ev mu'ot, right, there, whatever it is, mamtin lo ad sheyavri elach shelvi mol noso miyad. That's the case of the tinok with low birth weight. That once he hits the birth weight that's acceptable to the medical profession, right, then you make the mila right away. Okay. What else is here? Right. So I'm picking up the halachas and serve as a review to what I've said. So pick up Reish Samagimel. There. Yelet shu odom o yorok. Okay. Yeah, Odom doesn't mean an American Indian, right? Odom means, he's flushed. You worry, why is the baby so ruddy? Just why does it look like he's under increased temperature? So you check, but the baby is not increased temperature, right? But medically, the baby seems to have a ruddy skin. Fine, Baruch Hashem. All the tests check out okay. Perfectly healthy baby. Right. People have different complexions. Yorok already is a problem. Right. Simen shonofa bodomo. How's that nice for Russian? I translated it. It's a simen that the liver didn't kick in yet. Onofa bodomo. Right? Ein modern also chief of domo yes about my shakatan my zayde my zayde zatzal is the biana moil. I don't want it to get out, but I have some galiciana blood. It doesn't sound like it, but I do. Zayde was a moil. It's a biana moil. I have his meal equipment, by the way, to give you an idea of what they used in those days. There, you know what a barber's razor, the folding razor that the barbers use, the giluach, that's also for us to use. That was the meal knife. Nowadays, we have a meal knife, and those who are makpid on minhogim have a meter knife with two edges, right? Two cutting edges. My, based upon the posik, becherev pifios biyodom. American Moalim don't have it. Did pick up that meaning. They use a scalpel. Come sterile. You use it once, you throw it away, a razor blade. Right? It's very sharp, it does a good job. So, there. So the Broya Kehle had an unsuccessful attempt a few years ago to sell Miele kits, which contain the tweezers, the forceps, and the shield, etc., all throw away, single use there, because of the problem with infections, worried about it. It was a wonderful idea, but didn't work. Why? They charge $25 for the kit. And for $25, the baby can get an infection or two. It's no problem. So it didn't never caught on. I have a. I remember. I'll bring next time. I'll bring to show you. Very, very nice, nice, wonderful thing with the mugging throw away everything throw away. Yeah, and they already made a throwaway razor blade with two edges. Even that they were able to work out, but didn't succeed economically. Yeah. Okay, what's next? Mesa Bono Machmas Mile. We have time for this one. One other halacha l'maaseh. We have that problem today too. And that's hemophilia. It means that the baby bled out, they couldn't stop the blood. And nowadays we have problems also with excessive bleeding. Underneath the male organ, there's a, and one you can possibly see it on your own body, there's a heavy vein there. If it doesn't taper down towards the end, as it sometimes doesn't, when the male, nothing wrong with his milah. The baby bleeds, it's hard to stop the bleeding. Yeah. So the molem have special styptic chazarai, special gauze that occludes the blood, and so on. Usually it doesn't present a problem. Sometimes it does. It does, then if the moil hasn't been trained that way, you have to go into the urologist, and he takes a stitch. He ties a stitch around the vessel to shut it off. Right. If the patient has hemophilia, the patient will die. A single injection, right, will prevent the baby from bleeding abnormally for about 24 hours. It was an interesting shaila lahalacha. Is he a chola or not? If he's a chola, you should wait. How long? We don't know. It could take years before he's safe to go ahead and do a little cut on him. We don't know when. So hemophilia was once a problem. That's mesu echav machmas mila. So therefore, pikuach nefesh is doche mitzvah mila. Mila is doche Shabbos. Pikuach nefesh is doche mila. Bizman hazeh, the shaila is he a chola or not? The baby is 8 days old. Right. Doctors say, You cut him, he's going to bleed. We have trouble stopping the bleeding. But I will give him an injection. Give him an injection of factor V, or factor V, or factor V. If that's the kind of hemophilia, several kinds of hemophilia. And he's perfectly normal for 24 hours. Would you classify that baby as a chola and at least have to wait 7 days before you can do anything to him? When do you wait? How many 7 days? How many times 7 days? So I mean, Dava Poshut, although I haven't seen a written tshuva on it, but that's how we know it there. So the baby is perfectly normal. The baby gets an injection in the morning and before the mila, right? And they do the mila and the baby behaves perfectly normally, no excessive bleeding, etc. But is he a chole? Of course he's a chole. Yeah. But can I remove the status of chole for a 24-hour period and treat him as normally? I've had a few such chilas, that's how we're knowing. It seems to make good sense, but I don't know a moko for this thing. According to the Gemara, we don't do Mila, period. If Mesachavah is hemophilia, they postpone Mila indefinitely.
Nowadays, the doctors know that the baby has hemophilia based on their test or based on
that first needle stick of the heel stick.
Uh-huh.
That's the first thing they check. Uh-huh. That drop of blood gives you a whole story about the baby. Yeah. That's the first thing that they check, right? The clotting time and so on. We have a generally a problem there that somehow part of Frumkeit has been a total denial of modern medicine. Whatever was once, that's how you're knowing it, that's all. Baruch Hashem Reitz is alive and well, and we're putting it into the field. And that's a critical component of Psak Halacha today. That we have some doctors who are Talmid HaChomim, who know the Halacha as well as most poskim know. And there's no shy live there in the monos that they're going to do something because they don't believe in the religion. I have there, if you take a look there, mentioned there. I scribbled down on things. Yeah, we'll get to it next time. The decrease in percentage of Jewish babies who don't do Mila Bismarazer. Yeah. In 1960, I think, 98% of Jewish patients. Jewish mothers had the baby circumcised. Now it's down below 70%, 68% or so of Jewish, those who call themselves Jewish, who don't want Mila. We mentioned it last time. I have it here. I scribbled down the page already. Something. We'll pick up later. Altoma did an interview from Israel there where he tells about our chulban, the chulban of modern Jewry, that Mila already is under attack. That was all inviolate. No one would think, no matter how Namachal Shabbos eats a Yom Kippur, no one would think of not circumcising a son. Now, unfortunately, that's also under attack. Yeah. I think we'll stop here.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Next week, if you want to leave your books with me, put them in this box, and then I'll bring them back next week. And then after that, you'll be able to keep them if you'd like.
How many people are here, do you know? Do you take attendance? I may want to reproduce something for you.